password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
I think it's.
Welcome to Podigis, episode AM01. Hiroshinka, Haroshinkai, and this is a special Podigis Flashcast instant reaction for episode 1 of the Digimon Universe Apply Monsters, aka Apmon, anime. Podigis is usually your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon Universe, but I think this is our first episode that isn't nostalgic whatsoever, since the franchise kind of came back to life under our feet in the middle of doing the podcast. Anyway, so available and timing. So this episode is... This first episode of the Apmon anime came out earlier today on September 30th. I'm recording this very late on September 30th. It came out at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and that was when it came out in Japan. There's no news of it being simulcast or released in subtitled English form, but it was streaming for free in Japanese with no region lock, which is surprising, on TV Tokyo's site. We'll have a link to that in the show notes, or you can also go to, if you like transcribing URLs from podcast audio, tv-tokyo.co.jp/anime/Apmon. And there was a little bit of a roller coaster with that because it was there when I was at work, leaving work at 6 p.m., went to go watch it when I got home, and then it was gone, replaced with a PV. And I was like, oh crap, I guess there's no legal way to watch this. I guess I can't do anything about it. And then a couple hours later, it was back. So the episode is there now as of the time of recording this. Hopefully it stays there for a while. Hopefully it wasn't a mistake that they put it up there. Anyway, no news, as I said, about an actual English release with subtitles on Crunchyroll or similar anime streaming platforms. Hopefully we get news about that soon. I don't really know if the fact that the episode has been out for majority of a day with no news, if that signals much or not. I don't really know how the simulcast announcements are timed, if they are actually, like, you know, on the day of the episode coming out in Japan, or if they can also be later. Hopefully there's something, but there's also the totally real possibility that a series like this is not released simulcast subtitle because of being held for a dubbed release on, you know, like a more wide audience actually distributed to children. So definitely possible it's not picked up, and that would suck. Also no news if future episodes in Japanese will be released in this way for everyone to stream. So everything's up in the air. But let's move on to my general impressions. So in one word, promising. And also, like, kind of just generally related to watching this in Japanese, I was surprised that the Japanese really wasn't that complex. I guess that is an element of it being children-oriented, like most of Digimon is, but anime I've been trying to watch recently, I guess, have been a little bit more mature and complicated, and this I was actually able to understand a decent amount, which surprised me. And anyway, so it's still too early to tell if the story's headed in an interesting direction, but for now, what I think is pretty clear, that the ride, I think, will be fun. This first episode is definitely fun. It also seems like it's the perfect thing the franchise needs to bring in new kids, bring in a new generation. People who don't really have any familiar with the previous generations of Digimon. I have no clue whatsoever how I would feel about this if I didn't already have such an attachment and pull to Digimon. You know, like if we're streaming on Crunchyroll and I just came across it and saw the Kia arc and watched the first episode without being like, I need to watch this because it's Digimon, would I be caught by it? I don't know. I would think so, but I'm also so biased because I can't really remove that bias and see what it's like without the Digimon coloring, but it seems promising. Anyway, so first impressions of Haru. Haru is a new protagonist, Haru Shinkai. He's pretty exciting. A lot of people are going to compare him to Takato, and that's a very fair comparison. He is very similar to Takato in that they are both Digimon protagonists that break from the general norm of being very extroverted, very natural leader types, and they are more nerdy reserve types. I wouldn't exactly say that Takato is introverted, but Haru definitely seems fairly introverted. He does have friends. He has friends in Yujin, and I forget if Ai is actually established as his friend or someone they like, kind of know, but aren't really friends. Anyway, definitely close friends with Yujin, which is, I think, supposed to be set up as being surprising. I forget if there are explicit lines of other characters being like, oh, why are they friends? Anyway, I think there are. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But anyway, Yujin is very much the what you would expect of a Digimon protagonist. This is a little meta, but yeah, he is a soccer player. He's, I guess, supposed to be handsome. I don't know if he actually looks very handsome, but anyway. But Yujin, his best friend, soccer player, his last name is Ozora, which the kanji for it, Zora is definitely the same kanji as Sora, and the O is a very similar but not quite exactly the same kanji as the first kanji in Taichi's name. So it's kind of, not 100%, but kind of Tai Chi plus Sora, which is an interesting combination since they're both soccer players from the Digimon Adventure. Anyway, Yujin's definitely the typical what you'd expect of a Digimon protagonist. And Hiro is different, more reserved. He's also much more uncertain than Takato. And I think Takato, even though he was very different from other Digimon protagonists, the fact that he was such a Digimon fan and then got caught up in Digimon, I think made it so that he was not really out of his element that much. He, you know, was still like, oh my god, this is real, but still like, I'm totally into this. This is totally a thing I want to do. And I think Haru is different in that regard, in that I think it's a person on protagonist who really feels out of their element. And we'll see how much that shifts over time. Also, the dynamic between Haru's reservedness and Gatchaman's brashness is really fun. I don't think that's original. I can't think of many specific examples. I guess Henry and Terrymon kind of come to mind, but I'm sure there are other examples in Digimon, so it's not, I don't think it's original. It feels familiar, but also, I think it's executed pretty well. Gatchaman is a very loud and abrasive personality that bounces off Haru pretty well. Also, the fact that Haru is not very protagonist-like, not very leader-like, and that Yujin is totally, you know, I was like, oh, this, whatever, this, but like, that is grinded into you. The key word you need to know here, if you don't know Japanese, is Shujinko, which if you know that one word, you'll probably understand half the episode, because it's like every other word. That's not true. It's pretty frequent, but anyway, it's, the translations are hero, protagonist, main character. And it's a word that comes up frequently this episode. The vending machine asks him if he's a protagonist. Then the Apple Drive does. Everyone describes Yujin as Shujinko-esque. Gatchaman tells him he can be one. And then he basically accepts that when he activates the Apple Drive. Anyway, it's kind of a weird terminology to think of in English, because there's no way to talk about the words protagonist and main character in English without being very meta-ish. You know, like, you wouldn't ever describe someone on the street as being protagonist-like unless you are describing them as being like a character from a novel or something like that. And I don't really know enough of the context of how this word is used to know if that is normal to, like, I mean, the people that are watching Yujin play soccer describe him after he scores a goal as being Shujinko-like, I think. I forget the terminology they exactly use. But, you know, even in English, saying that that's heroic, which I think is a close translation, still feels very weird. You know, like, it still feels like a very strong term to use. So I don't know if these little translations of hero, protagonist, or main character are actually what a professional translator would use in these scenarios. It might be a more context-dependent word to use. But anyway, so at this point, it's kind of, it definitely seemed like the way, you know, like, the Apple Drive and the vending machine asking him if he's Shujinko are meant to be meta, meant to be, like, are you the main character? And about him fulfilling his role as a protagonist. But we'll see. I'm really curious to see if this theme of Shujinko or hero, protagonist, whatever, lasts for more than just the first episode, if it's really the inciting incident and then gets dropped, or if it's, like, key to the arc and Haru's arc in general. Anyway, structure of the show is very similar to Hunters, the third part of Cross Wars. And, I mean, the ways it's similar, it's about Digimon causing havoc in the real world, then jumping into an alternate dimension. In Cross Wars, in Hunters, that was the Digiquartz, now it's the AR field. And in that alternate dimension, they do battle with the Digimon that's causing havoc. It's kind of a spoiler for the manga, which the manga first chapter came out last week in this month's issue of V-Jump. And in that chapter was kind of, it seems like it was a condensing of the first and second episodes of the anime, because there was stuff in the chapter that's were previewed in the next episode on segment in the anime. And yeah, so anyway, there's a mechanic in that which is very similar to in Hunters, where they have an arsenal of secondary Digimon that they cross with or fuse or whatever. And also Haru, I forget if they're in the anime episode or if they're in the manga, but has, you know, lines about, like, one of his defining characteristics is wanting to help people, which feels very similar to Taiki from Cross Wars. Also, the friend dynamics seem very reminiscent of Cross Wars, with the characters that are introduced in this episode being Yujin and Ai seem, well, I don't know if they seem similar to the secondary non-Digimon friends in Cross Wars, Zenjiro and Akari. But the fact that, like, the setup of having two non-Digimon friends are introduced first, and then three Digimon having friends. So in Atmon, it's Eri, Musimon, dude. I can't remember his name because I can't read the kanji. I looked it up before this, but I'm sure once you just remember his name. Anyway, and Rei are the three Digimon having, or Atmon having, rivals or whatever they are. And that's very similar to Cross Wars, having Nene, Kiriha, and Yu. Anyway, those similarities worried me from the manga when I read the manga chapter, because the manga didn't quite really feel like it had much personality or character or fun to it. it was fine. The art style was good. I liked it. But I think those similarities like really worried me because they were the thing that stood out. Whereas from watching this episode of the anime, so much else stands out. You know, like there was so much more personality, whimsy, fun, that those similarities feel like things that if you look at it with a close eye, you can see. But without looking at a close eye, like it seems promising in so many other different ways. And one of those ways that it's promising, I mean, this is really the first Digimon series in, I think it is the first Digimon series that really deals with digital, I guess like, you know, fulfills the promise of digital in the word Digimon. I mean, it's the closest thing we've had to really dealing with digital things in Digimon, I think, is our war game, the adventure movie, with Daiboremon, you know, mucking around with digital systems and how they affect the real world. But yeah, and it's, which I hadn't really thought of until last year when we got people who had no attachment to the rest of the Digimon franchise to watch try chapter one, and one of their comments was just about like how little the Digimon have to do with digitalness. And yeah, it's not just a thing about Try, it's like adventure and all the other seasons, you know, like there are vague things that are related to digitalness, and you know, like there are little bits of character sprinkled throughout the world building that are digital related, but there is like the setting of this scenario is very much our current digital landscape, our current smartphone era. And I think it makes it, well, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like it's something that Digimon has danced close to for so long to finally see it, you know, embrace it fully is exciting and promising. So there's also just like seeing the idea of Digimon form from applications is something we've known about since the series was announced. And was always, I guess, in the back of my head, a little bit wary of that. Like it seemed, I guess I was wary because it seemed like a cheap kind of thing to go for. Like running out of ideas of things to inspire Digimon. So apps, I don't know. And I, so far, I think like most of those concerns I'll push out of my head. The way that these, and first of all, if you, there's a With the Will thread, which I'll link to in the show notes, which links basically the Atmon, I think it's a demo of the game has come out, and someone went through and took pictures of all the Digimon that are, all the Atmon that are available in the game. And the designs are interesting, first of all. It's just like, just looking at the design, but also the way that they move and use their components. So that's clear in this first episode with the way Messimon, the message app thing that's formed of chat bubbles, attacks by shouting things, and then the chat bubbles that pop up being shot as bullets is really cute. I don't know, cute, but it's clever. And Gatchmon searching for weak points by like digging into his magnifying glass to pull things out with his claw is clever. Gatchmon having the magnifying glass on his like helmet thing and then pulling it down to look at things is also clever. Also Navimon, which is previewed in the next episode, does some neat things in the manga, which I assume will be nice translated into anime form. Not translated into anime form, originally in anime form, which were then translated into manga, I assume. Anyway, so anyway, like I just think there's a decent amount of whimsy and fun to these character designs that I'm excited to see. Yeah, I think like, any of those worries have been removed. And also some other stray observations. So this probably should have been obvious if I thought about it, but the app chips are intended to be the app icon come to life in the real world. So like on one side has the app icon, the original app icon, and the other side has the Atmon, which makes a whole lot of sense. And I'm like, oh, well, obviously, why did I think of that before? Other things, the music, I think, was pretty good. It stood out to me. I mean, that was one thing I was looking forward to about this anime production in general, because I recognized the composer as being the composer of Code Geass, which definitely had some really good music. And I think the scene that really stood out was when Haru is deciding to, you know, like, getting the resolve to app-realize Gatchmon. The music felt really good there. The music during the app-realize sequence itself, like, once it does the animation or whatever, I don't remember quite how it went, but I remember being fairly hokey and being like, this is kind of embarrassing. But whatever. I am interested to see when this, you know, we actually get a localization for this in the form of simulcast or whatever. I'm interested to see how the term app-realize will be subtitled, because I'm not sure if everyone's aware, but it's a pretty clearly in Japanese a pun on app plus realize and apply plus arise. So apply is just like the word for app, like apody, and short for application, obviously, but they generally, I mean, say apody instead of appu, because appu just sounds strange in Japanese. But translating that to English, they can't retain the dual meaning, can't retain the pun. So I don't know. I mean, it seemed like most of the official materials were referring to as aptly arise, like the what is it, the Animedia issue, which I have in front of me, which had the Tri cover on the front and the App Monsters cover on the back. Definitely wrote it out in English as Applearize instead of App Realize. Anyway, we'll see. Hopefully it does actually get an English release and we can see that. Now onto the opening and ending song. So the opening song, and this is pretty standard for anime openings and endings, I think. The opening hasn't really grown on me yet, but it seemed nice, and it seemed like the kind of thing that after listening to it several times, so listening to after watching several episodes, it'll probably grow on me, and I'll probably really like it. But for now, I'm like, that's okay. And I think, at least for me, listening to anime openings the first time, I'm generally like, always like, yeah, it's okay. Only occasionally am I sold from the beginning. But those ones that I'm like, it's okay, after 10 plus episodes, then evolve into either still, it's okay, or this is amazing, I can't believe I didn't see it the first time. So I'm not really sure how this will pan out, but it seems promising. The animation during the opening is also pretty dynamic and exciting and well done. It also focuses a lot on characters we haven't met yet. The other Atmon having rivals. I guess they're called Atmon buddies. Anyway, and the brief glimpses we get of their characterization seem fun. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm a little worried about the Musimon dude because his characterization seems really hokey. And like, I'm like, I don't know if it's going to work or if it's going to really work or if it's going to be really bad. I don't know. Anyway. The ending song, also, like most anime ending songs, I'm really not sold on. I really don't think it's that great. And it's like, I'll sit through this. It's not painful, but I kind of doubt that it'll grow up me that much more. Also, it was, I think, entirely Harem Gatchaman focused, which, I don't know, I guess I would say it's disappointing because I'm excited to meet the other characters. But I also think that Harem Gatchaman is a promising pairing to see them interact and grow. I mean, they're both very knowledge focused. So even though there's like the contrast between his reservedness, between Haru's reservedness and Gatchaman's brashness, they're both kind of nerds. You know, like Haru is a book nerd who wants to learn things, and Gatchaman is a brash Atmon that just is all about gaining knowledge. So, well, I think it's a fun pairing. Overall rating for this episode, I think I would have to give it 4 stars. If I'm sure in the next couple of days I'll look back at that with a more level head, not really caught up in the excitement of it just premiering, and be like, wow, that was really high, and maybe I would lower my rating then. But for now, if I'm kind of riding the excitement of having watched it, and I definitely am seeing a lot of potential, we'll see if that keeps up or if it goes downhill. But it just seems pretty well executed, pretty fun, pretty, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, I'm not trying to make any quality judgments of the series as a whole, because it could very well be that it goes in a completely lackluster direction, and this episode is not an indication of things to come. But for now, I'm excited, and I think it's a promising step. So, okay, now just talking logistics of our Atmon coverage going forward. If there's no official simulcast, and I'm the only host who can watch it in Japanese, then... And that's also assuming there is a way to watch in Japanese, which is also unlikely. But if there were a way to watch in Japanese, I was the only one who could watch in Japanese because I understand Japanese, then I think the likelihood of us covering it regularly is pretty low. Unless people write in to say this episode is super valuable, which I doubt. But anyway, if there is a simulcast and there is a way to watch it with English subtitles legally every week, shruggy face. I mean, the big question is whether we'd be excited enough to want to cover it. At this point, I definitely am. I think Andrew is, from seeing his reactions in our Slack. From seeing reactions to things he's seen of the Japanese version of this episode. Ashley probably won't want to watch it until it's subbed, and at that point, see if she's excited about it. Astra's probably way too busy. The thing that, like, Ashley and I have been tossing around is Ashley and I doing it regularly, and then bringing a different guest every couple weeks or whatever. So that's, I don't know, again, that really depends on whether it is simulcast in any way, and if Ash is excited about it once it is simulcast, if it's simulcast. So now going into the outro, let us know your thoughts, ratings, and 3-word reviews for this episode of Atmon at pottage.com/AM01. So things to keep in mind coming up, we still have our Tri Chapter 3 episode coming up soon. We recorded it last weekend and just taking a while to edit. And paired up with that, so when we release that episode, which will hopefully be early next week, we will have another round of the Tri giveaway, which we have some exciting new stuff for this round. So keep your eyes peeled on social media for that. And we are also still have our Tamers movies and retrospective episode coming up, so keep an eye out for those. So until then, bye. And remember, never stop.